Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Dubs Anderson. I'm Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. 3 hours on this Tuesday to look back on two games on Monday Night Football to end out week number 7. A big game between the Ravens and the Buccaneers in Tampa, and a nightcap out in the desert that did not feature a ton of offense, and yet a walk-off winner for the team at home. And Dubsy, on this Tuesday, it's not just the end of week 7 of the NFL campaign, it's the start of the entirety of a new season. The NBA tips off tonight. It is banner night in Beantown. The Celtics welcome in the Knicks. It's the start of a new era in Los Angeles. LeBron with his son Bronny on the court potentially at the same time as the Lakers take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. A new NBA season begins. We will forecast the entirety of the season here on this Tuesday on TEL. Dubsy, all of that and plenty more here in these 3 hours.
Ben, I'm excited. I mean, if you're a sports fan or a bettor, you're just going to be sitting there saying, what else do I need in my life? We're talking NFL, we're getting set for the World Series, and as you highlighted there, a little Tuesday tip-off opening night in the NBA. Not just a father-son, also a co-host of the podcast, going to be making his debut as the head coach with the clipboard on the sideline. So, Benny, excited to jump through the next few hours here. Let's see if we can make a couple of bucks throughout.
J.J. Redick, now the head man of that late show in Los Angeles. We've got a big show for you. Tom Vecchio will join for the prop perspective on this Tuesday to welcome in a new NBA season. Craig Mish will be here in our third hour to take that first look at a World Series. Now just 3 days away in Los Angeles between two iconic brands, the Dodgers and the Yankees. And old K-Dubs, Kevin Walsh, will round out the show with his preview of the 2024-25 NBA season. But Dubsy, we start by looking back on the doubleheader on a Monday night to end out week 7 of this NFL season. And the Baltimore Ravens looked the part of a Super Bowl contender. 5 passing touchdowns for Lamar Jackson and 5 consecutive victories for the flock as they go into Tampa and win 41-31 in a high-scoring affair that frankly wasn't all that close, even as that final score might indicate. The Ravens cover as a 4.5-point road favorite. A total of 49.5 skies way over, Dubsy.
If they're not the best team in the NFL right now, they've got to be the top two. Lamar Jackson, Action Jackson, put on an absolute clinic. 5 tutties there, 34 straight points to lead the flock with another monster marquee matchup there on Monday night. Chasing what, that third MVP in the 6th season, and they could just do it in a multitude of different ways. King Henry was an absolute beast with that run game. So too Lamar Jackson. He was getting it downfield with that passing game. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not good news. A couple of key injuries, which I know we'll jump into as we move through the next couple of hours there. But Lamar Jackson, he looked like the MVP, and the Ravens, for me, look like the best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Dubsy, hard to argue that. If not the best, if not the front runner, one of the two or three best teams in the National Football League, the Chiefs might be unbeaten. And they did start the year with a victory over Baltimore at home. But the Ravens, since an 0-2 start, five consecutive victories, covering in all five. You add on a little insult to the injuries, or perhaps the injuries to the insult for Tampa. In the final minute of the game, down by double digits, Chris Godwin suffers a gruesome ankle injury. It seems as though his season has already come to a close. Mike Evans, battling through a hamstring injury, caught the opening touchdown of the game, the 100th of his career, all for the Buccaneers, and then exited dealing with that hamstring injury as well. A tough night for the Buccaneers in Tampa. The nightcap out in the desert, the Cardinals and the Chargers. Dubsy, a total of 44.5. We thought the Chargers would try to grind out the clock. It wasn't necessarily a pretty football game out in Glendale, Arizona, but the Cardinals do win at home. A walk-off field goal from Chad Ryland from 32 yards out gives Arizona a 17-15 win. They win outright as a slight 1.5 underdog. Total of 44.5 does stay well under.
Yeah, if you look at the box score, you know, Herbert goes for 349 passing yards. Kyler Murray just 145 with one tutty and one interception. You'd be sitting here saying there's no way the Chargers lost this game, but low-scoring affair, real rock fight, as we've grown accustomed to with some of these Monday Night Football matchups. But the Cardinals, they get it down the field. Kyler Murray was pretty special with his wheels there, just getting them in range to get that go-ahead and ultimately get the score there. But this is the Cardinals. They can beat the best teams on their day. They can lose to the worst teams on their day. And for the Chargers, now sitting right there at 500, this is a good pickup win for the Cardinals, Benny, amongst a pretty loaded division, just one game back of Seattle.
Yeah, the Cards 3-4, the Bolts, and even 500 at 3-3. Plenty more reaction to our Monday night doubleheader in just a bit. But Dubsy, as 1 week in the NFL comes to a close, we already look forward to a new week and potentially the remainder of a season. The 49ers, who were the NFC title favorites, no longer, because they are dealing with a slew of important offensive injuries. Confirmed yesterday, Brandon Ayuk and the knee injury suffered on Sunday against Kansas City. He is out for the remainder of the year. Deebo Samuel has pneumonia. He has been hospitalized. His timeline to return has not really been discussed, and Christian McCaffrey still working his way back. Dubsy, the bad luck for the Niners continues.
Yeah, it really does. And I guess the silver lining there is hopefully CMC can get back after that bye week and give him another offensive weapon. But massive blow there. Deebo being hospitalized with pneumonia, that's not a good thing to be dealing with. That could be a week, 2 weeks there at the earliest. And for Brandon Ayuk, you know, held out there in the offseason, ultimately got the bag, $76 million guaranteed. But just a sign of a real struggling start to the season here for one of the teams that was projected to be one of the sides to beat there. So for the 49ers, the struggles continue, and they're suddenly left reeling, saying, where do we turn to next? Hopefully they can get star running back Christian McCaffrey back in the next couple of weeks.
Good injury news for the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa able to return off the IR this week. He is set to practice starting Wednesday. They are hopeful, Dubsy, he can return under center in Miami as the Fins host the Cardinals on Sunday.
Yeah, they really need Tua back in the mix to get things going. You know, Snoop Huntley has done his best, but it really hasn't been good enough or up to scratch with one of the offenses that we expected to be one of the, you know, highest scoring in the National Football League. For Tua, certainly gives them that deep threat again and just brings that chemistry back. You know, for the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, Waddle, they're sitting around saying, hey, where is that passing game? Well, suddenly it could be coming back into the mix there. And this is news that we really haven't had too much of an update on. So for Tua, getting back in the mix there after his fourth concussion, his first 5 years, great to see the 26-year-old back. And by all reports, he sounds like he's ready to rock and roll. He's not wearing the Guardian helmet. He wants to get out there and just get back to playing football. Great to see it.
The Dolphins currently listed as a 3.5-point home favorite. Marquee matchup on Sunday, we hope, between number one overall pick Caleb Williams and his Bears against number two overall pick Jaden Daniels and his Commanders. But Daniels injured on Sunday with a rib injury they consider week to week. I'm not overly optimistic he plays on Sunday, Dubs.
No, you've got to protect your young quarterback, and he's been fantastic. I would say Jaden Daniels front runner for the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Dealing with an injury like that one, having such a strong season to build off the back of, I think you've got to take it easy. Unless he's 80%, 90% ready to rock and roll, I wouldn't put him out there. I know we flexed this game. We all want to see it. King Caleb going against Jaden Daniels, two rookies who are having a lot of success year one, in which we're not used to seeing. So let's see a little closer to kickoff.
The Lions 5-1, but some bad news yesterday. Jameson Williams probably going to be serving a 2-game suspension for violations of the performance-enhancing substance policy in the NFL. And on the debut day of the NFL, or NBA, excuse me, yesterday was deadline day for extensions. A slew of them from a doubleheader on Monday night. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader on Monday Night Football to end out week number 7, and a marquee matchup in Tampa between the Ravens and the Buccaneers. Both teams entering 4-2 last night to end out week 7. One team improves to 5-2, and the Ravens have now won 5 consecutive games after a dismal 0-2 start to this 2024 season. Baltimore looks to be one of, if not the best team in the National Football League. 41-31. The victory for the flock last night on the road in Florida. They cover as a 4.5-point road favorite. Dubsy, a total of 49.5. Skies way over. Baltimore has won 5 consecutive games. They have covered in all 5. They have also gone over in 6 of 7 games this season, partly because the Buccaneers did score 21 points in the fourth quarter to make it look like it was a little bit closer than the game actually felt for a good majority of it. But the story, the Ravens have won 5 straight. They're the hottest team in the NFL, and they look like the best team in the NFL as well.
Yeah, and it really could have been the game that gives star quarterback for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, his 3rd MVP. Truly special performance there. You look at some of the numbers, 5 tutties, 281 passing yards. They got the run game going. I mean, King Henry at times, Derrick Henry looks like it's PlayStation football, a men amongst little boys. 15 carries for 169 rushing yards, and they really couldn't stop him. If you go back and take a look how it all played out, the Bucs came ready to play. They came ready to rock and roll. They were leading 10-0 after the first quarter, but then the Ravens, they found stride. They rattled off 34 consecutive points, and just a couple of different ways to skin a cat there when you're going against Baltimore. I mean, they can get it done with the run game. Lamar Jackson, he's looked fantastic getting it downfield as well, and you're just uneasy. You're sitting back, and if you just take that pause, they will capitalize. And as you highlighted, the Buccaneers, they really made this one look a lot closer once it was all said and done. 50.5 was the game total, 72 points combined, 21-7 there the Bucs put up in that last one. And I guess the big takeaway for me for Tampa Bay is a couple of those big injuries. Chris Godwin's now going to be ruled out for the remainder of the season. Big bad Mike Evans, who's known for his durability, he had to leave the game early in this one. And I hate to be that guy, but if you haven't got Evans at full health and if you haven't got Chris Godwin, suddenly the Buccaneers' chances of making a bit of a run in this season could be out the window.
Yeah, Dubsy, it's one of the sad realities of the National Football League. You lose the game, the outcome does not go in your way, and then you lose 2 superstars and key contributors on top of that. Truly, as we said, injury to the insult of the loss. Baltimore, again, 4.5-point road favorite last night. The Bucs have been a great underdog this season, and in the Baker Mayfield era, they entered last night 11-5 ATS, 8 of those 11 covers, an outright win. Not last night, despite a very strong start. The Buccaneers drove down the field on their opening possession, scored a touchdown. Looked like they would score another touchdown on their second offensive possession. It was in the arms of Chris Godwin. It got called back because of a penalty. They settle for a field goal. The Ravens score a touchdown, but Tampa's still ahead 10-7. The Bucs driving once again, Dubsy, near the end of the opening quarter, deep inside the red zone. And Baker Mayfield throws an interception. The Ravens take advantage with a touchdown a few plays later. And then for the second time in three passes, another interception from Baker Mayfield. At that point, it was really all Ravens, and they rolled from there on out. So you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Yet again, another game where he combines for over 300 yards of total offense, 281 through the air, well over his passing yards prop in the low 230s. He had 52 yards on the ground as well. Dubsy, in all seven games for the Ravens this year, at least 40 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson. That MVP price on the very bottom of that graphic is actually now even shorter by half a buck. Lamar Jackson, the reigning NFL MVP winner, is now the MVP favorite at a plus 250 price at the end of 7 weeks.
Yeah, and not shocked by this one, Benny, but I guess a little surprised of how the offense is looking. You know, a lot of, I guess, hesitation for me on the betting side of things coming into week one. How is Derrick Henry, you know, star running back, going to fit in to this offense when Lamar Jackson's such a dominant runner? But now you're suddenly facing against the best 1-2 rushing duo in the NFL. And I'm sitting here saying, yeah, no surprises this works. King Henry at 30 years of age, he's dialing it back. He looks fantastic. And Lamar Jackson, you know, I don't think he gets credit for that football IQ. Very smart out there on the field. He can read the situation. He can read the game. And when he needs to use the wheels, he gets it downfield. When he needs to use that arm and spread the field, he can also do that. So this is a potent offense, if you will. And as long as King Henry remains healthy and Lamar Jackson keep himself upright, they're going to be a very, very tough out moving forward. And some of the other glue guys as well, some of the wide receivers, they've been fantastic. They've been efficient. They're not turning over the ball, and they're just given that extra second there to Lamar in the pocket. So O-line should be credited as well there. So when you put up that many points, always going to be a very tough out. But the run game for me, that's been an absolute standout. Continues to stuff the numbers. Plus 300 in the MVP market. Not a bad number.
You would think voter fatigue for a guy that has won two MVP awards already in the last 5 years might weigh in, but nobody is running away with it from the stat perspective. We'll talk MVP markets a little bit later on. I would keep an eye on the quarterback in Detroit for Jared Goff. But again, when you look at things, Dubsy, in this game and the reaction afterward, you have to highlight the king. 30 years old, but Derrick Henry is still running like he's 20 at Alabama. A buck 69 on the ground last night against the Buccaneers. In this five-game win streak for Baltimore, at least 92 yards in all five wins. 132 plus in four of the five. Derrick Henry, an 81-yard scamper to add on last night to his total. Dubs, you mentioned the injuries to the wide receivers for the Buccaneers. Tampa still above 500, 4-3, tied in the top spot for the NFC South. The Falcons do have the tiebreaker in that direct head-to-head from a couple of weeks ago. Mike Evans will undergo an MRI on that injured hamstring. His timetable, not looking overly optimistic. Chris Godwin is going to undergo surgery on his dislocated ankle. This is the final year under contract for Godwin in Tampa, where he has spent the entirety of his career. Dubsy, he leads the NFL in receptions this year with 50, a huge loss for the Buccaneers moving forward. The nightcap of the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. To the desert we go. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second leg of our Monday night doubleheader to end out week seven out in Glendale, Arizona, between the Cardinals and the Chargers. And Dubsy, on paper entering the two games, we had 2-4-2 teams facing off in Tampa with a 4.5-point spread in favor of the Ravens, who look like one of the dominant teams in the NFL, and a high total of 49.5, where pretty much everybody handicapping the game expected to see points, and we did, 72 combined, to lead us to the desert, when we know the Chargers want to run the football and grind out the clock, and you never really know what you are going to get out of Arizona. We expected it to be a lower scoring affair, and that it certainly was. The Cardinals walk it off with a 32-yard Chad Ryland field goal. As time expires, Arizona wins 17-15 as a slight point-and-a-half underdog at home. That total of 44.5 stays well under. Dubsy, it was the highest total of the season for the Bolts. Los Angeles now has been under in 5 of its 6 games. And whether it was Anthony Lynn or Brandon Staley or now Jim Harbaugh, unfortunately, in a wild and wacky game for the Chargers, they come up on the losing end once again.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here, you know, post week 7, Benny, trying to figure out what are the Chargers? What is, you know, the DNA to the kind of football they're going to play moving forward? And at 500 to start the campaign, I guess that's what we expect, just sort of middle of the pack. And we highlight off the tip of the show that, you know, the Cardinals hold on to get the score. And this is a very tough team to play against, especially with Kyler Murray, the way he gets things going out of that backfield. Only 145 passing yards, but a couple of critical runs to get him downfield, get him close enough to get that go-ahead field goal there. So 17-15 for Arizona at home, absolutely a must win and trying to keep their season moving in the right direction. If you look at the stat sheet, the standout performers really wasn't a bunch. I guess you could say James Conner had a really strong game for the Cardinals, putting up 101 rushing yards. But I think the standout for me is, you know, for the Cards, NFC West remains one of the tightest divisions on paper. They needed this one just to sit a game back of Seattle 49ers. They've been middling at best, and for World LA, can't get it going in the right spot there. So 17-15, low scorer versus the highest scorer. It was a bit of a snoozer, but for Arizona, they got the job done. Survive, advance, move on to the next.
That's what you got to do. You got to just win football games, even if it is ugly. The Cardinals, as an underdog, win outright. Dubsy, now this year, 3-2 against the spread as a dog. 2 outright victories with Jonathan Gannon now as the head coach since the start of last season to begin 2023. 12-10 ATS as an underdog. A very competitive team from that spread perspective. James Conner was big, was Arizona's leading receiver last night, 51 yards in the passing game, and a huge catch late to extend it for Arizona to set them up in field goal position. For the Chargers, Cameron Dicker, the kicker, made a field goal under the 2-minute warning to give LA that 15-14 lead. He was perfect last night, 5 for 5. But that's an issue when your kicker is the only one doing the scoring. And really, Dubsy, it was emblematic of a weird game for the Bolts early. Opening possession, Arizona's Kyler Murray picked off by the Chargers. They then fumble the football back on the INT return. The Cardinals take over later in the opening quarter. Beautiful ball from Justin Herbert down the left sideline to Jalen Reagor. He is inches from the pylon, gets stripped, fumbled the football. Arizona recovers for a touchback. It just felt like that kind of game for the Bolts from the very start. And this is also an issue. Kyler Murray throwing for less than 215 yards 6 times now in 7 games. Only a buck 45 through the air did have the 44-yard touchdown run. Justin Herbert throws for nearly 350. He had 349. He had a passer rating north of 97. It is the first time in NFL history a quarterback has thrown for 340-plus yards and had a quarterback rating around 97 and did not have their team score an offensive touchdown and ended up on the losing end. It is not how Jim Harbaugh and his OC Greg Roman want to construct this football team. They don't want Justin Herbert to throw it as much. His attempts prop last night was 27.5, Dubsy. He finishes with 39. They would rather run the football and dominate there. Wasn't really the case last night for LA's offense.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to start with trying to fear the run at first, try and set that table, lay the groundwork so you can get the passing game going, but really didn't have a chance. They just couldn't get things going, and that's what we've seen going through the first, 7 weeks here for the Chargers. Yeah. Offense has just been missing in bunches, so for Harbaugh, he's got to turn things around, otherwise it's not going to be good enough. And that red zone conversion rate, absolutely disgusting. Eesh. How can you not be getting into their house at that point? So not good for the Chargers, good win for the Cards at Monday Night Football.
We'll react to the rest of Monday night in the season outlook moving forward next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The updated outlooks at the end of Week 7 in a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Of course, we start with the team at the top. And Dubsy, that's the Baltimore Ravens. Now an updated win total of 12.5. The Ravens have won 5 consecutive games after starting in a winless 0-2 hole. And frankly, I'm not sure where that next loss on the resume is going to come based on how well this Ravens team is performing. And that really, Dubs, I guess, is the conversation for this Baltimore team. The Ravens right now, not just looking like the front runners to win the AFC North, they were a -250 favorite entering the end of Week 7. Not just a team we expect to contend with Kansas City atop the AFC, but maybe, and legitimately, they should be booked in front of KC because of all the Chiefs' offensive woes and the injuries on that side of the football, despite the, of course, perfect 6-0 start in the upper hand advantage that KC has over Baltimore. Dubs, I think there's going to be a lot of chatter this week at the end of Week 7 that it's not in Arrowhead, it's in the Charm City. The Ravens are the best team in the NFL.
Absolutely. And if we were to come up with a mock line and say, okay, Week 8, Ravens are at home taking on the champs, Kansas City Chiefs, you'd have to book the Ravens as, you know, 1-2 point favorites. They've been fantastic. They certainly have more offensive weapons that they can lean on. This 1-2 punch that we continue to speak of, Lamar Jackson, King Henry, it really is looking unstoppable. So with that win total now sitting at 12.5 there, you'd have to be looking north of that number. I really just don't see a world in which they start to slow down. And taking a look at the AFC, a couple of teams have really underwhelmed. You know, the Dolphins haven't stood up. Yep. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers, that's been an absolute, you know, dismal showing from what we have seen. I guess you could say that the Buffalo Bills, they're certainly going to be that third choice there. But in terms of amongst the conference players, Kansas City Chiefs, they really haven't put a foot wrong. But if you're looking for style points, that wow factor that we usually talk about in the college football, Benny, it's the Ravens who continue to put up these dominant showings.
And Dubs, we have seen a large change in those Super Bowl 59 odds. Kansas City, the favorite, that's where it's remained at +450. But the Ravens now only a dollar behind, just 70 cents behind KC in the AFC championship race. The Lions have the best price out of NFC teams at +750, moving a full dollar in front of the 49ers. Then it's the Bills at 11-1, the Texans at 13-1, and a ton of contenders out of the NFC that round out the top 10. So, Dubs, when we talk about Baltimore, when we talk about Kansas City, the Chiefs have covered in 5 of their 6 wins, of course, undefeated to start the year. But they haven't looked overwhelming. Patrick Mahomes, 6 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, a negative TD to INT ratio, unheard of, and yet entered Monday as the MVP favorite after the Sunday slate. Now it's Lamar Jackson, a full $2 in front of Patrick Mahomes. But these are two guys that have won 4 of the last 6 NFL MVP awards. We wouldn't really expect the voters to say, hey, here these guys are once again. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Mahomes doesn't have the stats. Lamar Jackson does. 3 consecutive games of more than 300 total yards for the Ravens. And oh, Derrick Henry, also the favorite now to win Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL. The NFL's leading rusher on this 5-game win streak for Baltimore. At least 92 yards on the ground in every one. More than a buck 30 in 4 of the 5. So we'll sing the Ravens' praises continuously, I am sure. Now let's get to the Chargers, Dubsy. They fall to an even 500 at 3-3. We expected this AFC as a conference as a whole to be a gauntlet. With the Chargers falling to even 500 at the end of 7 weeks, there's only 7 teams above 500 in the AFC as a whole out of all 16 on this side of the league. And that does include teams like the Colts and the Broncos at 4-3. At the end of the road, Dubsy, will the Chargers end with a winning record? Might they be able to earn a playoff berth in the AFC?
I doubt it, Benny. I have not been impressed from what I have seen at this point of the season. You look at the schedule, next 3 weeks, we got the Saints, Browns, Titans. So I guess if they're trying to make a bit of a run, it's going to have to be in the next month of football. But a lot of question marks. And, you know, not to go back to how's this Chargers team really going to play. It looks like a team that needs to lean on the run game that doesn't have a run game. You don't have a quarterback who's sitting at 100% there in Justin Herbert. We knew he came into week one with that plantar fasciitis. The passing game, he's still getting a downfield, but they just cannot put up points. And that's going to be a very tough out, especially going against some of these teams that are also in that desperation mode going into week eight and through the next month here. So for me, the Chargers sitting at 500, I'll say no. I do not think they've got a chance of playing playoff football. I don't think they finish at 500 or above. Hate to be that guy, but for Jim Harbaugh, you're buying in on the long game. It was never going to be amidst the short game turnaround there. They just do not have the weapons on the offensive side of the ball.
You know what's so funny, Dubsy? Because of the lack of quality right now around the AFC, the Chargers have a near pick'em price, basically, to make or miss the postseason. I don't think that speaks to LA as much. I think it speaks to teams like the Dolphins, off to a slow start this year, 2-4. We'll see where they are with Tua Tagovailoa set to return, hopefully, this week on Sunday. Again, the Dolphins, a 3.5-point home favorite against the Cardinals. We'll discuss Arizona in just a moment. Of course, the New York Jets favored to miss the postseason, 3 games below .500. Even those teams that are slightly above 500 right now, Indianapolis and Denver, plus money prices to make the postseason. So now let's get over to the NFC teams in action last night on Monday. We'll start with a team that won on its own home turf. That's Arizona. The Cardinals, 3-4. They've won a couple of games that maybe they were expected not to. They've not looked great in the games they were expected to potentially win or at least be competitive. I think I saw this last night on the broadcast. Kyler Murray, in his time as Arizona's starting quarterback, has failed to win back-to-back games since the 2021 season. I'll double-check that in just a moment. But, Dubs, by that standard, we should expect the Cardinals to be around 500 as they are all season long.
So that you're telling me that we got to smash the Dolphins in week eight to his big return back there in South Beach. But for the Cardinals, they're so rocks or diamonds, and that's what you can expect with a quarterback like Kyler Murray. They're only going to go as far as he can carry them, whether it's going to be with that passing game or trying to get it downfield with the wheels. And he just has that X factor. You know, if you look at the stats that Kyler Murray puts up for the Cardinals, there's nothing that wows you. I guess maybe some of the running numbers there, but it's just the intangibles, you know, that gamer attitude, that mindset to just be able to step up in the clutch and get it done, which is why they're a tough out. They're a scary team to try and play against because you just don't know in which way they're going to try and come at you. And last night it was a well-deserved victory. You know, they just hung around. They stayed close enough, long enough in, I guess, a bit of an arm wrestle, but it's not a sustainable way to try and play football in the National Football League. If you're going against a team like the Dolphins, who with Tua getting back in the mix, put up 28, 30 points, it's going to be really tough in trying to play against. So as a bettor, I would say the Cardinals could be the scariest team in trying to have confidence in, especially with that alarming statistic, how woeful Kyler Murray is in trying to rattle off wins back-to-back.
Confirmed, Kyler Murray has not won back-to-back starts as Arizona's starting quarterback since week 6 and 7 in the 2021 NFL season. Again, the Cards catching 3.5 points as the road underdog in South Florida on Sunday. Dubsy, a lot of the odds around the Buccaneers right now off the board. Of course, a lot of that dictated by the injuries last night to their star wideouts in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin has spent the entirety of his NFL career in Tampa. Of course, same for Mike Evans. Godwin under contract at the end of this year. It is up. We'll see about his future with the Buccaneers moving forward. I will say this about the Bucs right now, still plus 160 to win the NFC South. The Falcons, a slight minus money favorite. No team is really overwhelming in this division, despite everybody starting off the first 3 weeks or so looking rather promising, everybody except the Carolina Panthers, who are, of course, a one-win football team. The news that you need around the National Football League to get ready for week number 8 up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So 1 week in the NFL comes to a close. Week number 7 now in the books as we near the halfway point of this NFL season. Week 8 already on the horizon. Great Thursday night football game to get started in just about 48 hours. And Dubsy's neck of the woods out in L.A., the Rams will play host to the Minnesota Vikings. Before we get there, of course, as a week comes to a close in the NFL, a ton of injury news that has been finalized since the Sunday slate. And none of it is really good for the San Francisco 49ers. Test confirming yesterday that Brandon Ayuk has suffered a season-ending knee injury. Torn ACL and MCL, he will miss the remainder of this year for San Francisco. Deebo Samuel, a late scratch, Dubsy, against that Kansas City Chiefs team in the Super Bowl 58 rematch. They said he was dealing with an illness, a rather serious one. He has been hospitalized with pneumonia. He has fluid in his lungs. There is no timeline for his return at this moment. Scary situation for Deebo. Christian McCaffrey unlikely to return before the week 9 bye for San Francisco. Still on injured reserve with the Achilles tendonitis. And just to add on to this laundry list, George Kittle, who has been banged up at times this year, is considered day-to-day with a foot sprain. And it's not like, Dubsy, this 49ers team has looked the part of an NFC favorite, and they're 5-2, and now this slew of injuries. They're below 500. They're 3-4, and it does not look like this is going to get better anytime in the near future for the 49ers.
No, it really doesn't. They're getting set to take on the Dallas Cowboys on deck there, and the Cowboys, it's only a matter of time before they truly wake up there. So for the 49ers, it's really not good news on any front there. I guess the only positive you would take away from that is CMC Christian McCaffrey could possibly back in the mix there by week 10. But if they were to drop this next one to the Cowboys and sitting there at 3-5, they're going to be playing catch up. And without all these explosive offensive weapons, it's not a knock to Brock Purdy. We're not going to call him a systems quarterback, Benny, but they really do need the pieces in place for this offense to work. So if they can get Christian McCaffrey back in the mix, you've got to question, how's he really going to be, you know, look at first game back coming into week 10? Right. There's obviously going to be a bit of rust for a guy that you depend on for so much productivity. So for the 49ers, Shanahan, one of the smartest minds in the business, they have got to find something, some kind of spark to just try and keep that season alive until they can get a little healthier there. But Brandon Ayuk getting set to miss the rest of the season, that's a massive blow up there in Santa Clara.
We'll see exactly about the status of Juwan Jennings as well, who missed Sunday's game for the 49ers to be that other wide receiver option. Get ready to learn the names Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall, who was shot in the offseason and is the healthy wide receiver for the 49ers. Names like Ronnie Bell out of Michigan as well. And Brock Purdy has not played clean football. Dubsy, a lot of conversation. The game manager, he's just taking advantage of the system, yada, yada, yada. I think that has been largely disproven, but he threw 3 interceptions without a single touchdown pass on Sunday against KC. He's got 7 INTs this year, 5 in the last 3 games for San Francisco. That is uncharacteristic Brock Purdy football, where he has been clean and operated in this Kyle Shanahan system incredibly efficiently. As you mentioned, they do host the Cowboys, Dallas off the bye. It's Sunday night football, a renewal of the old NFC rivalries. Neither team enters feeling all that good about where they stand. The good news for the Cowboys, they're on the road. They're 3-3 this year, and the boys, all 3 of their wins have come from outside of the Star and away from Dallas. Now for San Francisco, a -158 playoff price. They're still the slight favorites to win the NFC West, despite Seattle having the edge right now. San Francisco does have the direct tiebreaker with that victory Thursday night, now 2 weeks ago. But Dubsy, really, when you look at the Niners, it's always been odds optimism from the odds makers. This team went fully healthy, even with the early season struggles. They're going to contend for a Super Bowl once again. They're going to win the NFC, and it's hard to knock down. The Niners have played in 4 of the previous 5 NFC championship games, but it feels like a long shot right now for San Francisco to get there. I guess the silver lining, the 49ers still the second best price in the NFC, only behind Detroit.
Yeah, things not getting easier here for Bang Bang Niner Gang there, a little banged up, as you can see from that graphic. And for me, Benny, I don't know. I just feel like It's getting late early up there in Santa Clara. You know, the longevity of playing in the NFL, trying to make that playoff push, you need good fortune on the injury side of things. They just haven't had it coming through the first 7 weeks here. So for the 49ers trying to turn things around, I just don't see it happening. And if you look at some of these numbers, these are numbers going off the 49ers from last year when they are at full health, full billing. So I think the odds makers just putting a little too much respect on Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. I'm really not buying it. You are what your record tells us you are. And they are a 3-4 team right now. And Seattle have looked a little better there. So in terms of trying to finish up top of the divvy, they're playing catch-up football. And I just don't see how they're going to make up that margin.
The 49ers, a 4.5-point favorite for Sunday night at home against Dallas. They've been booked as a favorite in every single game since the start of last year, all 20 a season ago, including Super Bowl 58 against the Chiefs. The first 7 to start this year more than likely will be by the time we end out week number 8. Tua Tagovailoa set to return to practice tomorrow for Miami and emerge off of the IR. A lot of people have speculated about Tua's football future. He is the one calling the shots. He, along with his family and the Dolphins medical staff, have determined that he is ready to go. There is hopes, Dubsy, that he will start on Sunday in South Florida as the Dolphins welcome in the Arizona Cardinals, as we have shared a few times. Miami, 3.5-point home favorite already for Sunday.
Yeah, I think that number's a little steep. It seems like a fishy line for me. But for Tua to come back, look, 26 years of age, he's an absolute superstar in the league. We need him back in the mix. Went through, what, his fourth concussion in 5 years. So not good on that side of things. But we saw Tua facing the press yesterday, facing the media, and he's confident. That's what you want to see. He's not going to be second-guessing himself. And for a young quarterback, that's sort of the optimism that you'd want to see as a head coach, and especially for some of these weapons that they put around Tua. For the Miami Dolphins, their season is on the line for a chance at winning. Snoop Huntley, he's given them a decent shot, but it has not been good enough, not up to the level here that we expect in the NFL. So Tua returns. Watch out for Miami to get hot, maybe put together a little run.
This would be your time to buy in. The Dolphins, the worst scoring offense in the NFL. That should change with Tua. More around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you set expectations for something, you don't want them to fall flat because of an injury of all things. Dubs, we had all circled week number 8 in the Commanders hosting the Bears. Number 2 overall pick, offensive rookie of the year front runner, off to a historic start to his career, Jaden Daniels, playing host to the number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams, who has come on especially strong for Chicago the last 3 weeks. The Bears off the bye, they're ready to go. We'll see about Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn telling the media yesterday he is dealing with a rib injury. They remain hopeful he can play on Sunday, but week to week, never a great designation. We have seen some movement in this spread. The Bears were a slight road favorite after Sunday. Now it's 2.5 in favor of Chicago. And if you want to keep it under a field goal, you got to pay the hefty price at minus 120. All of that, an indication to me, Dubs, that we might not actually see Jaden Daniels in the matchup of 1 versus 2.
Yeah, and if you're looking for the injury report, follow the numbers here. The odds maker is always the first one to adjust there. But what a matchup this would be if Jaden Daniels were to go for the Commanders. Two young quarterbacks were just absolutely balling out in year one. And I feel like it's been a minute, Benny, since we've had a couple of top draft picks, a couple of top quarterbacks really connect this early into their young careers. I think Jaden Daniels has been an absolute standout for the Commanders. Always had that question mark about the deep ball, the accuracy, but is absolutely shining. And for a guy like Terry McLaurin, scary Terry, he's saying, yes, thankfully, I finally found a quarterback who can get me downfield. And for King Caleb Williams and the Bears, I mean, this was the quarterback that was set up for success with so many, high-octane offensive weapons around him, if you will. So for me, two of the dynamites in the game, you'd love to see him squaring off. We flex this game so we could get the primetime matchup, but obviously having that rib injury, not something you want to be working with as a young quarterback, especially in the pocket, getting a lot of pressure and expected to get even more there Sunday night. So hopefully Jaden Daniels can get set for week 8, but if not, we're going to have to wait. But certainly two of the superstars of the sport right now.
And Dubs, not only because of performances, but perhaps this injury, not just the line for week 8 in the matchup outside the nation's capital between the Commanders and the Bears, but the odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Daniels at a point greater than a $2 favorite, even after week 6, still remained a hefty favorite in front of Caleb Williams, who threw for 4 touchdowns in London against Jacksonville. Now it's just -115. Daniels the favorite, but Caleb Williams back to even money, +100, an opportunity on Sunday to make a statement, more than likely against his opposing quarterback that could be Marcus Mariota, who is great for Washington in relief against the Panthers on Sunday afternoon. More quarterback news around the NFL. Brian Daboll has said, hey, Daniel Jones still our guy. We shall see how much longer that is the case. Drew Lock came in after the game was out of hand on Sunday against the Eagles. Not good news for the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell has a broken thumb on his right throwing hand. He is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. The Raiders did add Desmond Ridder, the former Falcons quarterback, to their quarterback room. It seems as though Gardner Minshew is going to be the starter moving forward. He had 4 turnovers, Dubsy, on Sunday for the Raiders in LA against the Rams. It doesn't really matter if it's O'Connell, Minshew, or even Des Ridder. The Raiders are going to have a top 5 or top 10 pick in the 2025 NFL draft. They're selecting a quarterback. I can guarantee you that now.
Yeah, not a bad class coming up as well there. So Gardner Minshew may be the gatekeeper for now, but for a couple of these teams, take a look at their schedules and where they sit going into week 8. I mean, it is all but done, making up the numbers there. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, I mean, how much longer are we going to stick with Danny Dimes at quarterback for the Giants? I guess there's 90 million guaranteed reasons why he is meant to be that guy, but it just hasn't worked out. And eventually, Benny, you're going to say, hey, it was a bad beat. I didn't have the cards at the table. It could be time to walk away. I'd say by week 10, overs, unders, and I would set the unders as this mark, just time and time again. I try to put trust in the Giants. You know, he shows up and has a bright spot one Sunday afternoon and then completely goes missing. He makes some missed times, throws, bad decisions. And for New York, if they're trying to turn things around, this cannot be your guy to lead you into the promised land of the next 2 to 3 years. You've got to move on.
A very interesting offseason ahead for the G-men. Of course, Joe Shane, the GM, and Brian Daboll, the head coach, were not the guys in positions of power when drafting Daniel Jones, but they did hitch their wagon to his contract extension. Wide receiver news, as we share. DK Metcalf is considered week-to-week with a knee injury. Also not a great designation. Jameson Williams facing a 2-game suspension for a violation of the performance-enhancing substance guidelines in the NFL. But it's the start of the NBA season when Hour 2 starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.